The DOT releases airline on-time numbers for August. NATCA says controller understaffing contributes to airline delays. And investigators say there was massive insider trading at Eads. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, October 4th, 2007. The nation's largest airlines recorded a rate of on-time flights in August that was higher than in July, but down from the rate posted in August of last year. The numbers come from the Air Travel Consumer Report released Wednesday by the U.S. Department of Transportation. The 20 carriers reporting arrived on time 71.7% of the time in August. That's down from last year's 75.8%, but an improvement over July's 69.8%. According to the airlines, 8.06% of their August flights were delayed by aviation system delays, 9.27% by late arriving aircraft, 7.67% by factors within the airline's control, 1.02% by extreme weather, and 0.08% for security reasons. All those numbers were improved slightly from July. Oddly, despite their public relations campaign and political rhetoric, the airlines did not blame any delays on small business jets filled with fat cats late for tea times. Among the highlights broken down by carrier, the highest on-time arrival rates went to Aloha Airlines at 97%, followed closely by Hawaiian Airlines with 93.6%. Southwest was third, way down at 77.7%, and it all went downhill from there. The worst included United and Alaska, both completing only about two-thirds of their flights on time. But the absolute worst was Atlantic Southeast Airlines, which overall was on time only 55% of the time. Atlantic Southeast Flight 4361 from Alexandria, Louisiana to Atlanta, and Flight 4530 from Atlanta to Hilton Head, South Carolina, both went the entire month of August without a single on-time arrival, while Flight 4178 from Atlanta to the Tri-Cities in Tennessee was late 96.3% of the time. Those three flights on Atlantic Southeast made up three of the five worst individual flights for on-time performance. You can see more highlights and lowlights in the print version of this story on our website at www.aero-news.net. There are plenty of excuses for why airline delays are getting worse. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association told ANN this week that understaffed control towers are part of the problem. Communications Director Doug Church says, quote, "We're at an 11-year low in the number of fully trained, experienced controllers. It's 1,100 fewer than we're working in 2001, the year the FAA now says we've equaled in traffic volume. There's only so many planes we can handle at a time and only so many radar control positions that can be opened due to staffing," unquote. Union President Patrick Forey says the FAA's answer, the Next Generation Air Traffic Control System, is at least 10 years from bringing any benefits to consumers. Quote, "Next gen is pie in the sky. What about now gen?" Unquote. The union's release this week points out, quote, "Staffing at JFK Tower in New York is down to 25 controllers. That's a 32% drop from the 2001 staffing level of 37. But traffic at JFK has increased by 40% since 2001. The 25 controllers is also three below what even the FAA believes is the minimum acceptable staffing level," unquote. The FAA says it has adequate staffing nationwide and is on a pace to recruit enough controllers to replace retirees. Spokeswoman Laura Brown said the agency has hired about 1,700 new controllers in the past year. The French government has told the Associated Press that its investigation suggests there was, quote, "massive insider trading," unquote, by 21 top managers at Airbus parent Eads. The investigations started in France and Germany following stock transactions in May of 2006, in which Eads insiders liquidated shares just before the announcement of a crippling second delay in development of the Airbus A380. AP reports investigators at the French Financial Markets Authority are forwarding the allegations to prosecutors in Paris, saying the facts in this case are, quote, "likely to be qualified as criminal," unquote. Eads CEO Louis Gallo calls the findings preliminary. The National Transportation Safety Board determined on Tuesday the probable cause of a fatal 2005 runway overrun at Chicago's Midway Airport was the pilot's failure to use available reverse thrust in a timely manner to safely slow or stop the airplane after landing. The board says this failure occurred because the pilot's first experience and lack of familiarity with the airplane's auto brake system distracted them from thrust reverser usage during the challenging landing. As ANN reported, on December 8, 2005, Southwest Airlines Flight 1248, a Boeing 737, ran off the departure end of runway 31 center after landing in a snowstorm, rolled through a blast fence, an airport perimeter fence, and onto an adjacent roadway where it hit a car before coming to a stop. One child in the car was killed, three others on the ground, and 18 passengers on the plane were injured. The board's full report will be available in several weeks. Up next on ANN, DayJet officially launches service in Florida. The Air Force officially ends the search for Steve Fawcett. And defense contractor Blackwater answers questions in Congress. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 4th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Wednesday morning, DayJet made it official, formally launching operations in a ceremony in Tallahassee, Florida. Among those on hand for the occasion was Florida Governor Charlie Crist. Billed by the company as the world's first per-seat on-demand jet service, DayJet plans to utilize a large fleet of Eclipse 500 very light jets to connect dayports in Tallahassee, Gainesville, Boca Raton, Lakeland, and Pensacola, expanding to dozens of additional dayport locations across the Southeast within the next 2 years. The air taxi service offers a customized approach to business travel. Passengers tell DayJet where and when they want to travel and how much they're willing to pay. If their time's at a premium, members can create a narrow travel window. When they have more flexibility, they can reduce their cost by setting a wider travel window. The company projects fares for those with flexibility should rival last-minute fares on commercial airlines. DayJet says over 1,500 business travelers have signed up for the company's services. The trail has gone cold. Tuesday night, the U.S. Air Force officially ended search efforts by the Civil Air Patrol to locate missing aviator Steve Fawcett, nearly 1 month after the millionaire adventurer disappeared over western Nevada. In a statement to ABC News, Acting CAP Commander Brigadier General Amy S. Corter said, quote, "This remarkable man showed us what grit and determination are all about. We regret that those adventures may have come to an end," unquote. Fawcett disappeared September 4th, failing to return from what was expected to be a short scouting flight. Fawcett departed that morning in a single-engine Belanca Decathlon from a private airstrip near Yerington, Nevada, to investigate locations for a land speed record attempt planned for later this year. Blackwater, the military contractor under the gun for its security operations in Iraq, is also catching heat for its work in Afghanistan. Testimony during a House Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing on Tuesday, reported by CNN, suggested that a 2004 crash that killed three crew members and three U.S. troops happened after pilots deviated from their planned course and flew into a box canyon. A voice recorder onboard the twin-engine CASA C-212 captured the crew's final conversation, in which the pilot said, quote, "I swear to God they wouldn't pay me if they knew how much fun this was," unquote. In its November 2006 report on the crash, NTSB concluded that Blackwater provided insufficient oversight and guidance of the pilots. Dispatchers failed to ensure that pilots followed their flight plan and did not adequately track flights in the air. The board also ruled the military did not provide adequate oversight of the contract carrier's operations in Afghanistan. Representative Henry Waxman, a California Democrat who chairs the oversight committee, told CNN federal investigators found the pilots, who'd both been in Afghanistan less than 2 weeks, should each have been paired with a more experienced aviator. The company's chairman, Eric Prince, defended the company, positioning the accident as an isolated incident caused by individual pilot error. Quote, "We provided thousands and thousands of flight hours of arrival service since then. Today, still, we're flying more than 1,000 missions a month," unquote. Like its much larger military cousin, the V-22 Osprey, the Bell Augusta BA-609 commercial tilt rotor is like no other aircraft to come before it. And that leaves the FAA with some questions on how exactly the new aircraft should be certified and what standards it should meet. On Tuesday, the FAA issued a request for comments on proposed airworthiness standards for acceptance of the BA-609 as a special class of aircraft for which airworthiness standards have not been issued. The FAA procedure will review and possibly revise the application proposal, publish the submittal in the Federal Register for Public Review and Comment, then address the comments. After all necessary revisions, the standards are published as approved FAA airworthiness standards. If you'd like to comment, get a copy of the proposed airworthiness standards from the link at the bottom of the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Comments should be sent on or before January 25th, 2008. Still ahead, the U.S. Air Force insists its missile defense will work in the real world. The U.S. Navy's Training Air Wing 2 resumes operations after two crashes. And Northwest is turning around a tough year. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, October 4th, 2007. I'm Paul Plagg. The U.S. Air Force wanted to crow about the success of its test of a U.S. missile defense system last week, but critics said the tests were unrealistic and that elementary countermeasures common in the real world would have confused the system. Now, the Air Force says the next test will include countermeasures. Air Force Lieutenant General Henry Obering, quoted in Defense News, says the success of the September 28th test allows introduction of the additional challenges. A spokesman for the service told Defense News to expect the new tests sometime between February and May next year. Up to this point, tests have involved telephone conferences among high-ranking military officials. In a real attack, however, decisions would have to be made very quickly. Air Force General Gene Renard, head of the U.S. Northern Command and NORAD Command, said there would not always be time to contact the president. Quote, "We can't go too far. A response is needed in minutes," unquote. While much remains to be done, and the system isn't expected to be fully operational until at least 2011, Renard says the system could respond much sooner in the event of a real attack. Quote, "I'm fully confident that we have all of the pieces in place that if we needed to, we could respond," unquote. The U.S. Navy's Training Air Wing 2 was expected to resume flight operations this week after a T-45 Goshawk crashed about 2 miles north of the Naval Air Station Kingsville on land owned by the King Ranch in Texas. The crash was the second incident within a week for the Training Air Wing and Training Squadron 21. A flight instructor and student aviator safely ejected prior to the crash. Both were treated for minor injuries and released on October 1st, according to a Navy statement to ANN. All flight operations at NAS Kingsville were suspended on Monday during recovery efforts. Captain Bill Davis, Training Air Wing 2 commander, said the brief stand down is normal and he does not foresee any interruption to the wing's training schedule. The Navy is reviewing options on how to recover the aircraft. Meanwhile, the recovery of the Goshawk involved in a September 27th crash, attached to Training Squadron 21, should reportedly be concluded next week. A couple of months ago, Northwest Airlines was reeling from pilot shortages, which forced cancellation of a significant portion of its schedules the last few days of June and July. After attempting to recall more furloughed pilots, preemptively canceling about 4% of its schedule, and creating a financial incentive for minimizing sick days taken, things are looking up. In September, Northwest set a new company record of 12 days without a single cancellation. The old record for consecutive cancellation-free days was 6, and that goes all the way back to May of 2003. The Detroit News reports the carrier operates roughly 1,300 flights a day and averages a cancellation rate of 1 or 2% per day. Even more surprising, given the debacle this summer, Northwest is on track to end 2007 with the highest number of perfect days in its history. So far in 2007, perfect days stand at 17. Finally, occasional airline travel is an experience many of us take for granted in the U.S. and other parts of the Western world. But in India, only about 1% of the population has ever flown on an airliner. And so, according to the travel blog WorldHum.com, a retired Indian Airlines engineer has set up a full-fledged simulator built from pieces of a scrapped Airbus A300. But it's not a simulator for pilots. Instead, the machine simulates the experience passengers would have on an airline flight. Delhi residents can buy a ticket for virtual journeys for about $4. Every Saturday, about 40 people are showing up just to do that. Bahadur Chand Gupta conducts the pretend flights with help from his wife and 5 crew members. Passengers sit down, buckle in, listen to authentic cockpit announcements, and are served meals and drinks by flight attendants. While this may sound odd, perhaps it's good training for flying on real airliners. Gupta's A300 carcass has no lighting and the bathrooms don't work. Then again, there's never turbulence, and passengers never have to deal with strandings. There is one glaring error in Gupta's recreation of the airline experience. When was the last time you were served a meal by a flight attendant on a real airliner? And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Judy Rice, Executive Director of Careers in Aviation, a nonprofit organization working to connect would-be pilots with scholarships and other opportunities. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.